Good morning. We're going to talk about always resting in the Lord. This is something we look at every couple of years, but it's been a few years since we did it, and I just think it's wonderful. We don't have to be panicked about everything in the world, because things come up in our lives that tend to want us to panic or at least get on edge or at least get a little worried about, but we can rest. We've all had times like that where you say you work hard all day and you come home and you sit down in your favorite chair with your favorite beverage and you just rest because everything's done. Nothing to worry about. And that can happen in a life with a job and a chair. But how much greater that every day we can rest in the Lord no matter what we're doing. Even if we're still working a million miles a minute, we can still just rest knowing that God's going to come through for us. I can think of so many times in my life where I was, you know, struggling to figure out how to do something and God just brought some person in with all the right equipment and solved it or something similar, because God will just take care of us, and that's why we can rest in the Lord. Let's start in Exodus 33 and verse 11. Go to Exodus 33. In verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed out of the tabernacle. Then, and Moses said unto the Lord, verse 12, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. So he's talking to him. He's not quite clear, not quite happy with how God's treating him, so he's discussing it with him. Verse 13, Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace, if I found favor in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he, the Lord, said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Isn't that amazing? God said, My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Well, how about us? We have God's presence born within us, with God in Christ in us. And that's why we can have rest at all times. Because God can direct our paths, supply our needs, and give us the desires of our hearts. He protects us and supports us. And even if we have little hiccups and little problems, which happen to all of us, God will get us through them. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 14 and read about a king named Asa. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. In verse 1, So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa his son reigned in his stead. And in his days the land was quiet 10 years. Talk about God giving you rest. We've read other sections where there are Philistines, Assyrians, Ethiopians, Hittites, Amorites, all kinds of Moabites, all kinds of people attacking the children of Israel. But for 10 years, the land was quiet. And when we hear of all the hubbub in the world, and there's certainly a lot of hubbub, there always is. As I said before, I get tickled when people say, oh, things are so much worse now. No, they're not. They're just worse in different ways. The devil's the godless world. There's always hubbub in the world. You know, decades ago, you know, we had world wars. We had half the people dying from yellow fever. We had all kinds of things going on. Now we have the hubbub we have. And we just pray that God will take care of us. And how great it is that the land was quiet for 10 years. Verse 2. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places. And that's better, because a lot of the kings you read about did have a good heart before God, but they did not remove the high places. Those are the altars where people worship false gods. But he did. Verse 3, For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek what? The Lord God of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandment. Also, he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was what? Quiet before him. He really did his best to walk with God. Verse 6, and he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those years. Why? Because the Lord had given him rest. See, that's the key. He lived according to the will of God, and as a result, God gave him rest. Other kings didn't do that and didn't have that rest. Therefore, verse 7, he said unto Judah, that was his kingdom, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers and gates and bars while the land is yet before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears out of Judah 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows 280,000. So he had 580,000 soldiers. All these were mighty men of valor. And there came out against him Zerah the Ethiopian with an host of 1,000,000, so nearly twice as much as Asa had, and 300 chariots, and he came unto Mareshah. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephatha at Mareshah. And Asa, you see, a lot of times when this happened, the kings would, you know, hire the Egyptians or hire the Syrians or something, hire godless people to try to help them, and that often backfired. But he didn't do that. He took his army out, which was a little over half the size of the Ethiopian. And verse 11, Asa cried unto the Lord his God, and said, Lord, it's nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar, and the Ethiopians were overwhelmed. Were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, his army, and they carried away very much spoil. So instead of the army of Judah being defeated and the land being taken over by the Ethiopians, they defeated the Ethiopians and took away a great deal of spoil, gold and garments and who knows what else they got, but they got a lot of loot. Verse 14, they smote all the cities about Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they spoiled all the cities, for there was exceeding much spoil in them. They smote also the tents of cattle, and carried away sheep and camels in abundance, and returned to Jerusalem. Chapter 15, and the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa. This was the king in the previous chapter that had walked with God and asked God to help him beat the Ethiopians. Verse 2, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you, while ye be with him. If you seek him, he will be found of you, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now that's still true in our administration. The difference is we're born again of incorruptible seed, and we're not under the Old Testament law, so the commandments we have are not grievous, but it's still true that if we seek him, we'll find him. But if we forsake him, he'll have to forsake us because he gives us freedom of will. You know, if I invite you to lunch and offer to buy you the fanciest lunch at the fanciest place in town, you still have to show up. If you don't show up, I'm not going to go to your house, tackle you, tie you up, and drag you into the restaurant. It's up to you. If you come to lunch, I'll treat you to a very nice lunch. If you don't, I can't do anything for you. In a similar way, if we go to God and ask him for help and look to him, he'll take care of us. But if we turn away from God and ignore him, there's nothing he can do for us. So that was true then and it's true today. So let's read that again, verse 2. He went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you. By the way, I'm so glad everything I have is battery powered, because the power just went out for about half a second. But I don't have anything plugged in. It's all on batteries. Isn't life great? Okay, that's just a little side note. Verse 3. Now, for a long season, Israel had been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But when they, in their trouble, did turn unto the Lord of God, God of Israel, and sought him, he was found of them. So even in the law administration, if they turned back to God, they found God and God helped them. How much greater today when we have Christ in us and we're living by the grace of God and, you know, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. How much greater today? The point is when people turn back to God, God's there. Think of the parable of the forgiving father. When the prodigal son returned, the father was out there waiting, looking for him, ran to him, gave him a big hug, had a great feast for him, gave him the robe and the sandals, all signals of a welcome son in the household. So people will tell you, oh, if you do this, you know, God will turn away from you and he'll never talk to you. Well, not true. They've been doing very poorly worshiping, not worshiping the true God, but when they got in trouble and turned to him for help, they found him. Verse 5, and in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexation were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. The nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. In other words, just look to God, and it will work out. Verse 8, and when Asa heard these words, and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage, and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. So you see, they got a lot of spoil in their battle with the Ethiopians, and they gave the appropriate amount to the Lord as offerings, as they should. Let's see where I got to. Oh, I went back to chapter 14. Okay. Verse 12, and they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death. We don't do that in our fellowship. You didn't come to fellowship? Off with your head. Nope. But they did it then. They did it then. The people that didn't seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear, verse 14, unto the Lord with a loud voice, and with shouting, with trumpets, and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart, and sought him with their whole desire. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. So they sought the Lord, they found him, and the Lord gave them rest. Now, we already have God in Christ in us, but still, we have to look to God and acknowledge it. You know, it's like we said, you can have a $100 bill in your pocket, but if you forget about it, you could be starving on the street. And then you go, wait a minute, I have a $100 bill in my pocket. I can get afford a sandwich. I can eat. I can find a place to stay. I can do all kinds of stuff. Well, it was the same with them. The Lord was there the whole time, but they hadn't been seeking him. So they sought the Lord, found him, and the Lord gave them rest round about. Verse 16, also concerning Micah, the mother of Asa the king, he removed her from being queen, because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burnt it at the brook Kidron. But the high places were not taken away out of Israel. So I guess they didn't get rid of all of them. He took away a lot. But there were still some there. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. And he brought into the house of God the things that his fathers dedicated, and that he himself had dedicated, silver, gold, and vessels. And there was no more war unto the 35th year of the reign of Asa. Wow. Because what we were just reading about, I think, was in the 15th or 17th year of his reign. And there was no war till the 35th year. So it's quite a great example of finding rest with God. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. More familiar record with Jehoshaphat. We won't read the whole thing. This is the one where three nations come against them. They get together and pray. The Lord says, go out to the battle. You won't need to fight. You're going to win. You won't even need to fight. So at the end of it all, after the enemy soldiers destroy each other, and they spend 3 days taking all the loot back to Jerusalem, it's sort of summarized here, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 30. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet. Why? For his God gave him rest round about. But for them to get to that point, they sought the Lord. They asked God for help. They prayed for deliverance. They reminded God that he promised to take care of them. And he sent a prophet and said, just go out to the battlefield and get all the booty. You don't have to fight. So it was quiet as God gave him rest round about. And that's the kind of vision we want to have for our lives. Sure, we're going to have to work hard. Sure, there'll be challenges. Sure, there'll be surprises that scare us a little bit. But you know what? The Lord will always come through. And that's why we keep looking to the Lord. And he always comes through. Now in Psalm 37, another very familiar favorite verse. Psalm 37 and verse 7. Rest in the Lord. And this could also be translated, be still in the Lord or be silent before the Lord. You know, sure we should pray and ask God for help like we saw Asa do, we saw Moses do, saw Jehoshaphat do it. But then get quiet. Now, don't spend the whole day complaining and whining about everything. Ask the Lord for help and then settle down. Settle down. Be still, be silent before the Lord. Verse 7 here, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. He's going to come through for you. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Don't worry about that. And then Isaiah 28. So many great records here in the Bible. Isaiah 28 and verse 11. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. So a prophecy about speaking in tongues, to whom he said, verse 12, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. See, that's the rest we get from the Lord, but they wouldn't hear. And you see this so often in the Word of God, where God takes care of them. Remember that time with Jeremiah when, after they'd carried most of the Judeans captive to Babylon, and there were just a few left there, and the Babylonian king kept setting up somebody from the royal family of Judah to rule, and they kept rebelling against him. So he finally got fed up, and he put a commoner named Gedaliah there, who was not part of the royal family. And he said, don't worry, trust the king of Babylon, live here and be peaceful. But some of the royal family who was living across the border in another country came across the border and killed Gedaliah. And then those that were left really panicked, because they said, boy, the king Babylon's going to get us now. He killed his governor he set up. So they went to Jeremiah and said, what should we do? Whatever you tell us, the Lord says we'll do it. So Jeremiah said, okay. So he asked the Lord, and 10 days later, the Lord told him what to do. And the Lord said, stay there in Jerusalem and you'll be safe. But if you go to Egypt, you'll die. So he told that to those people that asked him. And they said, you're lying. Somebody paid you off to do that. we're going to Egypt. So they packed up and went to Egypt. They died. When they got to Egypt, they admitted that they hadn't been worshiping the true God. And they thought they were better off when they worshiped the Queen of Heaven. But that's just another example where God told them exactly what to do, offered great deliverance, but they wouldn't accept it. And we have to be very careful in our lives to listen to God, to look to God. And when God provides a way, there's a great line that's not in the Bible, but it's very true. God will provide a way when there is no way, but we must walk in that way which he's given us. God will provide a way when there is no way, but we must walk in that way which he has given us. And so many times in the Bible, people do listen. So many times they don't listen. And this is an example. Again, let's read this verse 12. This is the rest wherewith he may cause the weary to rest. Talking about the speaking in tongues in the previous chapter. And this is the refreshing. Yet they wouldn't hear. They just wouldn't listen. Let's go to Isaiah 30. Here we go. Isaiah chapter 30. Okay, Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 1. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be in help for profit, but a shame and also a reproach. Verse 6, the burden of the beasts of the south in the land of trouble and anguish, from whence come the young and old lion, the viper, and the fiery flying serpent. They will carry their riches upon the shoulders of young asses, and their treasures upon the bunches of camels, to a people that shall not profit them. For the Egyptians shall help in vain, and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this, their strength is to sit still. Now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, the prophets, see not, and that the prophets prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Don't tell us the truth, tell us things that we want to hear, that sound good. Verse 11, get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and stay thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly in an instant. And he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it assured to take fire from the hearth, or take water withal out of the pit. Now look at this, verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved, delivered. If you return to God and rest in him, you'll be delivered. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Just get quiet in your heart and be confident in the Lord. You'll be strong. And then what else? And ye would not. But you say, no, for we will flee upon horses. Therefore shall ye flee, and we will ride upon the swift. Therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one. At the rebuke of five shall ye flee, till ye be left as a beacon upon top of a mountain, and as an ensign on a hill. So isn't that amazing, verse 15? In returning and rest shall ye be saved, and quietness and confidence shall be your strength, and you would not. Well, that's the decision we have to make. God's there to give us rest if we just turn to Him and ask for help, or we can ignore it and run around panicking, saying, God can't help with this problem, and just panic and be miserable. You're not going to lose your Holy Spirit. You're not going to lose your eternal life, but you will certainly lose the peaceful rest of living that you would have if you kept looking to God. Now, Matthew, let's go ahead a little bit into the Gospels. Let's look at Matthew. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will what? Give you rest. Same concept we saw in the Old Testament records. But here it's in the Gospels. So Jesus Christ is saying, come to me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Sort of a precursor of what we see in 1 John, where it says, you know, follow his commandments, and his commandments aren't grievous. As we get further on with Jesus Christ paying for our sins and fulfilling the law, instead of the heavy burden of the Old Testament law, you have the light burden here, and in even more in the epistles, the commandments that aren't grievous. And that's where we're going to find rest. In 1 Corinthians 14, here's what we read in Isaiah, spoken of again. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 21. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet they will not hear me, saith the Lord. So it's talking about speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues. And it said in Isaiah that that's where the rest came from, was with those other tongues. So speaking in tongues is a great way to have great peace in your heart. Because a lot of times we don't know what to do. We're faced with a problem, a challenge, a difficulty, a misunderstanding, whatever. We don't know what to do about it. Well, when we speak in tongues, that's perfect prayer. We're making prayer according to the will of God. So when you're in that tough situation, try to picture in your mind everything resolved. Not the problem and the conflict, but the resolution and the peaceful result. And then just speak in tongues. And the words you're speaking are from God in another language, and they are perfect prayer for whatever that problem is. And not only will you get deliverance and results, but you'll be peaceful in your heart because you're focusing on God. Thou wilt keep in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. And now I want to wrap up here in Philippians. This is one we've read before, and I have a couple other translations. But this has been a section in Philippians 4 that's always been a help to me. I've probably quoted you what we used to say when I was first in fellowship in high school. We used to say, when in a fix, turn to Philippians 4, 6. And it's still true today. Here, Philippians 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. How often? And again, I say rejoice. So there's always something to rejoice in. So if you're having a tough day and you're trying to find something to be thankful for, just think about maybe not all, but at least a few of the things God's done for us. I have eternal life. I have Holy Spirit. I can pray in the name of Jesus Christ. I can have the fruit of the Spirit and the manifestations of the Spirit. God loves me and I can walk in love. Nothing shall separate me from the love of Christ. He could go on and on. Those are just a few. So just rejoice in these things from the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. And moderation can be translated gentleness or patience. Let your moderation, your gentleness, your patience be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's what's going to happen. You're looking to God. You're praying to Him. Well, the peace of God will just take over. I can think of so many times when I've been worried and upset, and I just pray, and then all of a sudden, after doing that for a few minutes, a sort of wave of peace just rolls right over me. You know, how God does it for you in your life may vary, but I've seen that happen so many times. Not so much lately, because I don't let stuff get to me like I used to. But I still keep praying and looking to God. So the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, so don't ask me to explain it, because it passes all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We have a little fortress around our hearts and minds, because it's that peace of God. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So there are always negatives in the world, and sometimes you have to deal with them. But if you spend all your time and mental effort focusing on the problems in the world, you're going to be miserable. And we meet people like that. The minute you say hi, they start complaining about something. The prices, the government, the society, and pick something. Their neighbors, their kids. Your car broke down. I mean, you can go on and on and on. There's always something they're mad about. Well, it says not to focus on those. I mean, deal with it. You know, if your car breaks down, fix it yourself, like Brian, or get it fixed by somebody else, like me. But the point is, don't spend your whole life worrying about it. Just get it fixed and move on. That's the way life is. And we got to focus on the good things in life that God's given us. And then verse 9, those things which you both learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of friction and problems and no. That's what a lot of people want to live with. No, the God of peace shall be with you. God wants you to have peace. And when we have complications, which are inevitable for all of us, we simply need to pray that God will help us get through them and then move on with a peaceful life. Now let's go back to verse 6. I got verses 6 and 7 in a couple different translations. The J.B. Phillips one reads as follows. Don't worry over anything whatever. Tell God every detail of your needs in earnest and thankful prayer. And the peace of God, which transcends human understanding, will keep constant guards over your hearts and minds as they rest in Christ Jesus. Isn't that great? The New Living Translation is also good. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. If you do this, you'll experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Isn't that great? We just turn everything over to God. So, again, the focus of today's teaching is to always rest in the Lord. We've always got things to deal with in the world, but as we do it, we rest in the Lord. And it's true that with everybody. Everybody in life has things to do and challenges along with them. So let's do the things we need to do, but let's deal with the challenges by resting in the Lord. So Heavenly Father, I thank You for these great truths. Thank You for Your wonderful love and kindness. Thank You for a great day, a great week, a great month. Everything we do, looking to You, resting in Your grace, love, and kindness. And we thank You for all that You've given us in Christ. And in His name we thank You and pray. Amen.